I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing toward the mark. What is the mark that we should press toward? I believe it's maturity in Jesus Christ. That the mark that Paul was writing about was mental maturity. And our walk, our life maturity, the way we live, and to be mature so that we can be an example to others in this world. And in order to do that, Paul tells us that he did two things. That is, he forgot those things which were behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. And as we consider those things that should be forgotten, I think we understand that they are the things that will hinder us in reaching spiritual maturity. There are some things we should not forget. There are some things we should forget. And the things that we should forget are the things that grow inside of us because we have not exercised the spiritual exercises that God has given us. I think of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness can be a very serious problem, and it can hinder our growth spiritually and keep us from maturing as we should, because unforgiveness is seldom stagnant. It, like leaven, seems to grow and spread in our bodies more and more. In the book of Hebrews, Paul warned, and this is immediately after he had written to the Hebrew people, the Christian people who were congregations scattered all over the empire, meeting primarily in the synagogues that had converted to Christianity. Paul wrote that they should be careful that no root of bitterness grow up in them or grow among them, because it was contagious. And as I studied the word bitterness, I found that it has in it the idea of to pick. And that didn't seem to make that much sense to me until I recalled our family at hog killing time. I was small, but I was very much interested in what was going on. And I remember that my father, as he began to clean and to prepare the hog for our table, that there were some things he was very, very careful as he took the intestines out of the hog. And there was one place in particular that he was so careful not to prick it or to cut it. And I wondered about that, and he explained that in that little sack there was enough bitterness, enough bitter taste to ruin much of the meat, that it could never really be washed off. And therefore he was careful. So as I thought of that, I thought of the fact that these people to whom Paul writes, though they did not have pork, they certainly cleaned a lot of animals for their table. And they realized that even in sheep and other animals, there was that gall We use that expression, bitter as gall. So sometimes we can have a bitterness in our souls and in our hearts that keep us from growing spiritually. And then Paul used again another expression, James used the expression, grudge not. And this is another problem that keeps us from growing spiritually, and that is what we have come to refer to as holding a grudge. There is a difference in bitterness and holding a grudge. Holding a grudge may come from bitterness, and bitterness may come as a flower from unforgiveness. It's the attention we give to it. It's the cultivation we give to it. It's the vigor with which we protect it and make sure that we never lose it. I've known people who were extremely bitter. I've known people who carried grudges and cared for it as though it was a sick infant. They were not going to let it go. They were not going to give it up because it gave purpose to their lives. Now, these are the things I believe that Paul had in mind when he said, forgetting those things which are behind. If we don't, we're going to be crippled. We're going to not mature as we should. We're going to find ourselves struggling against a spiritual cancer within inside of us that's going to eat at us and detract us from maturing as we should and becoming, as the scriptures refer to, as being perfect, not sinless, but growing up to spiritual maturity. But there are some things that we ought to remember so that we can think about them. And these are the things I believe that Paul mentioned in the fourth chapter as he concludes this, these statements concerning our growth in grace and our walk. Paul said in chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Not all of these are concepts. The first one that he mentions is things that are true. Now, what truths did Jesus tell us to remember? Well, one of them was Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And that wasn't a pleasant picture to contain in a person's mind or to retain in a person's thoughts. A person's life is lost. But this woman wasn't looking toward the future. She was looking into the past, which had been forbidden by God Almighty as this family left the cesspools of the plains, Sodom and Gomorrah. And she disobeyed God and looked back, perhaps longing for what was in her past. And as a result, she was severely condemned and judged by God. So what Paul's talking about here is not simply the flowers that we may remember. There are some real lessons that we need to keep in mind. For instance, Jesus gave us the supper, referred to as the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. And they call to mind his broken body and his shed blood. And he specifically said, do these things in remembrance of me. So I'm not saying that we need to think of just pleasant things. We need to remember the things that have taught us lessons that have value. But these remembrance of things in our past should never turn into bitterness, They should never become grudges. But if we have had things that have occurred to us that are true and honest and just, and things that are pure and things that are lovely and things of good report, virtuous things, things that have given praise or caused us to praise these things, Paul said, think on, concentrate on these things. So there is the fact that we are to forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. That is, concentrate primarily on the future. Things that we can do, things that can bring us to spiritual maturity. Now, Paul wrote these words from a prison, and yet he's telling people to think on things that are lovely and pure and good and true and virtuous, while he himself realizes that in just a matter of days, perhaps, as he concludes this letter, his life may be taken from him. But he still believes that he has the ability and opportunity to grow spiritually. And he used the expression of a runner at the starting gate, and he's poised to begin to run, and he's pressing, he is pushing, he's leaning forward with anticipation as a runner would lean forward, considering the prize that may be won at the end of the race. So even near death, Paul realizes that he could sit down and think about all of the bad things that have happened to him, the times that he was stoned, the times that he was given stripes, the times that he was hungry, the times that he was misunderstood, the times that he was condemned by those who believed him not to be an apostle. Paul suffered in order to carry forth the word of God as no other missionary has ever done. And as a man who wrote much or most of the New Testament, even when his eyesight was bad and he had others to write for him, he was a man who thought of the future. But even near death, he didn't think that he had arrived. In fact, he said in verse 12, not as though I had already attained. Paul said, I know I haven't gotten there yet. Either were already perfect or mature, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, God wants me to be mature. I want to be mature. Christ is mature. Christ would bring me to maturity, but I haven't yet reached that state of maturity that I desire to reach in this life. So Paul said, I want to press on. I want to stretch forth because there is a prize to be won. Now, this prize was not a gold chain. It was not the prize literally that he has in mind as a figure of speech. It was simply an olive wreath, and it was temporal. It would fade. It would wilt. Paul said, we don't try to reach for a prize that is temporal. We reach for prizes that are eternal. And the eternalness of what this prize of which it consists is the truths of God, the comprehension of the principles that Jesus taught, and the example that he gave to us, and the example that Paul gave to us. These are all the prize that we should strive for, even though we may be living in the latter years of life. I can tell you that I have not reached, quote, perfection. I didn't have to tell you that. You knew that. I haven't reached the level of comprehension and understanding of God through His Word that I desire. I have growth to make. I have understanding to achieve. I have virtues to reach and achieve. There are things that I lack in my life that I believe that even at my age, it should be a desire of my heart that would lead me to lean forth and stretch out and try to achieve, even though my life may not be much longer. So Paul said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect or would be mature, be thus minded. So I believe that Paul's talking about maturing mentally. He had not quit. He was still pressing toward that mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. His proposition is this. We need to reach mental, intellectual maturity. And I think that's important because if we're not careful, we'll get the idea that this is an emotional thing, that it has to do with learning how to let our emotions control our lives, to let our emotions get hold of us. But I don't believe that's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the mind. I hope all of you who are mature Christians will see eye to eye with me on these things. Not that everyone to whom he wrote was mature, but this is the truth. If you keep thinking about it, you will come up with the same answers. In other words, the more mentally mature God's people are, the more they're going to be able to accomplish the unity of the faith that is so important to a congregation's welfare and their ability to meet the needs of the congregation and to be an evangelistic and witnessing group of people. We don't expect three-year-olds to do much. They have to be guided, they have to be corrected, they have to be encouraged. But when people are mature mentally, when they have knowledge of their task, they have experience in their task, then they can accomplish so much more than a child. And I fear that in so many churches today, there has been no emphasis placed upon spiritual, intellectual, mental maturity, but all of the emphasis has been placed upon that which is emotional. Don't misunderstand me. Emotions are part of all of us. But we should be emotional when our minds have been touched by the Word of God. Instead of trying to reach God through emotions, we should try to reach God through our minds, which will give us the stability of emotions that are necessary to be what we ought to be. If we try to reach God through emotions only, we will never mature mentally and never mature as Christians should mature. We should be totally committed to maturing in our minds. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I have a little statement here that I believe is the truth, and that is that reason, that is the intellect, is the guide of the mind. That emotion is the guide of the flesh, and that conscience is the guide of the soul. There may be some loose ends in these categories, but generally, I believe that's the truth. That reason, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are things the Bible encourages us to be and do. And if we look to emotion, to guide our minds, we will be confused because primarily the emotion guides our flesh. That's why we have to be so very, very careful about it. But as I see the worship service today in many congregations, they are simply being guided by the flesh or emotion. And therefore, they're never going to mature. They're going to make many, many mistakes. They're going to be very, very weak in the service of God. So for we who are servants of God in this congregation, I want us to say along with Paul, I haven't apprehended. I haven't arrived. There are still things I need to know. There are still places where I need to grow. And I want to do that in this year that lies before me. I want to, as Paul said, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be mature, be thus minded, or have the same principles in mind and be guided by that. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. So I call your attention then to the fact that we need to be mature in our walk. We have not attained. We have not come to the very first level. We're still struggling. And the walk here is to go in order, to advance in rows or by rank, walking according to rule. You know, sometimes we're just, quote, out walking. We may go to the mall and just walk. We don't know which direction we'll start after we get inside. We don't know what direction we'll take after we come to a decision to go here, right or left. We're just out for a walk. It's casual. It doesn't have any particular direction. We don't have anything particular in mind. We're just sort of letting ourselves be guided by the moment. That's one way to walk. But the walk that is mentioned here in verse 16 is the walk of those who are in a military unit. They are in step. There is a purpose. There is a place where they intend to be at a certain time. And their walk is of such a nature that it can be timed so many miles per hour because it's a steady, ongoing walk. This is what Paul means when he says to us that if we have understanding, we have concepts, and we've already attained a certain spirituality, a certain maturity, then let us walk by the same rule. The rule that caused us to be what we are mentally is the same rule we ought to use in order to reach a walk that is mature. I think they go together. We must see that when we reach a mental acuity, when we reach an ability to reason, when we can see the plan of God, when we understand the nature of a church, when we comprehend the principles of Scripture, then that causes us to walk in a considered fashion, in a thought-out way. We have a goal to reach. Our lives are guided by the rule we have learned in order to be mentally strong. We didn't just learn facts in order to sit and spout facts. We learned facts, we learned figures, we learned principles, and we interpreted them, and we consumed them like bread, we consumed them like water, and now they are a part of us. They are so integrated into us that our lives are controlled by the same rule that we learned in order to grow spiritually, mentally. So it makes us what we ought to be, not only in our thinking, but in our everyday lives. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. You need to follow people who know where they're going. You need to follow people who have a clear understanding of God's Word. You need to follow people who've walked in the way and who know the way. Not just the way of salvation, but the way of life, the way to live. And that's what Paul means in verse 17 of Philippians. Be followers together of me. That is, you know the example that I have set before you, but also mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. In other words, in the congregation, there are people who are an example of how to walk. They are mature in their walk. They, therefore, are mature in their example. The idea that Paul means for us to gather from this statement is this. Sometimes people set a mark in order to walk, to drive, or even fly a straight line. I remember my father used to do that in preparing the field for plowing. He didn't just start out across the field. Generally, he had a tree or a post or something, and he'd fix his eyes on that so that he could plow a straight furrow. Later on, as people began to crop dust, fertilize, or use pesticides, insecticides, there was always someone with a flag, long pole with a flag, and he would move over so many feet and the plane would fly straight for that. Why? Because deviations would cause some places to be protected and others left unprotected. So there had to be a straight flight. And this is what Paul has in mind when he says, pick out someone who knows the way. Pick out someone you have confidence in. Pick out someone that you are not afraid to walk and follow, because these are two posts. They are examples to us. And so these are people who are mature. And I think if you'll just consider for a moment, there have been people like that in your life. I remember my grandfather, especially, who was an example to me. He walked to church, or rode a mule to church, or rode a horse to church. He might have had work clothes on, but he had a necktie on, because that showed his reverence and respect for God. And when he was up in years, aged, he still made it to Sunday school and church. And he would still get on to you if you missed. And that was sort of typical of the age in which, where I was a child, that all the neighbors bossed you as well as your mother and dad. You better get out of there, boy. You know, everybody was looking out for us and our welfare. But then my dad was an example to me. But I guess as far as what I really wanted to be in life, and I talked about this to my brother Tom, the one whose wife we buried last week. He said, you know, I guess the best example, and I'd complimented him on the way he had cared for Winona when she was so ill and really helpless. And he said, you know, I think I learned that from Mother. And I believe he's right. She was an example in patience. My dad wasn't. I don't know. None of that's been passed down to any other of his descendants, impatience. But anyway, my mother was patient. She learned it from her mother, who was patient. I've never seen my mother lose her temper. Now, she's whipped me, but she didn't lose her temper. It was well thought out and planned and mediated. We'd move from place to place. Sometimes I've told people, and it's the truth, for about 2 years we lived in a bootlegger's shack, literally. My mother just moved in, knocked the cobwebs down, swept the thing out, set up a table, and we had food to eat every time it was time to eat. I don't know how she managed it. She drew back on her Indian background. She could just scrounge and look and find and have food to eat. She was so patient. I didn't learn as much from my mother as I did my dad. He was intellectual. Aren't there people in your life whom you can think about now? And maybe you didn't really come to be like them, but you still have that opportunity. You remember the times when they were under great stress. They were able to think it through. They were able to bring things out without a lot of real serious problems. We need examples. You know, that's why I believe that in teaching our children, the best examples we can find and illustrations we can find are in the Word of God. That's why we look back into the Scriptures to see examples of what we ought not to be and examples of what we ought to be. But in your life, there are people that you ought to think about who can give you a good example. Take the Scriptures, grow mentally. Let these principles that you've learned guide the way you live. Be a mature person. And then be an example. Not just simply look for an example, but be an example by what you know, the way you live, and the way you walk. Stand with me, please, as we sing.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross.
Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus. It ain't that I don't trust you.
You of all people.